Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, you are our amazing God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three persons in one God. That is one of your beautiful mysteries. And how we are thankful and have gratitude for your love and your plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And amen. I am thankful for my Christian family and the fellowship that we have and the worship that there is to serve our Lord God with loving one another. And that is through and with Jesus Christ. There are many bodies of Christ all around us. There are many faithful people all around us. And I know that we have Sunday worship services where we get together and express care and prayer for one another. And also through the radio ministry, we know people and we have compassion. We have caring for one another with prayer. Oh, I think of the We Care Ministry broadcast, which is a thoughtful conversation on KKXX on Fridays at noon, where truth always matters. It's a very thoughtful broadcast. It's beautiful. And we have other beautiful Christians in our community. One of them is the Christian store in Chico. It is called One, and it is located at 977 East Avenue at East and Cohasset. It is a kind and compassionate store. It's a Christian retail outlet for the area in and around Chico by the name of One. It is inspired by John 14:6, where Jesus answered and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Again, One is located near Cohasset and East Avenues. The address is 977 East Avenue, Suite 40. And they want to serve the community with a variety of items, including Bibles and books and apparel, home decorations, greeting cards, and gifts, and more. So it's a nice Christian place with nice Christian people. And we have so much going on around us that we are reminded to be aware of everything around us. And often we get into such a routine that we just forget to be watchful about all the things going on around us. And that includes the trouble that there is that just could catch us. The routine becomes normal. Even getting up and doing our daytime stuff can get to be routine. I know I think of sunrise, and nowadays it's about 7 a.m., but a few months from now in the summer, it will rise at 5 a.m. The rising and the setting of the sun is what God has put into motion. Now, we do have some adjustments that man has done, like daylight savings time, and it's interrupted the patterns a little bit, but we always have the rising of the sun. We have the moon, the stars, and lately there's been a blood moon. It is a reminder to me that there is God, and He is in charge of all the things around us. So we had a blood moon just recently, and the blood moon in history has been an indication that there would be a war soon. Now, we have wars going on around the world. We have them, in the Middle East, and there's the Russia-Ukrainian war. That's going on. And it's a little bit of a problem because, just a few days ago, Ukraine struck Moscow with a large drone attack. In fact, the largest drone attack that they made on Moscow so far. And Ukraine has sent hundreds of drones to attack Russia's infrastructure, like their gas and oil and diesel supply. They've had ammo depots targeted. The drones have just done a lot of damage to Russia, and the Russian people are really turning against Ukraine because of what damage Ukraine has done to Russia. And perhaps it will continue. Perhaps there will be a greater war develop. And Ukraine's leadership is divided on, from what I can tell, they are divided on what to do next. Should they go ahead with war? Should they rely on other countries like Germany, France, and England to help them with the war effort? Well, there are questions, and now with Russia coming against Ukraine a lot, it makes a lot of people concerned around the world. And another thing is that Russia has allied with Iran, and that adds controversy and concerns and shows that the spread of warfare could expand and continue as countries either agree or disagree. And there are the BRICS nations, that economic unit that is adding another element of concern and possibly chaos to the picture in the world events. And then we have Trump. What is he going to do? Well, we have Trump already in making efforts to fight the cartels in Mexico. Now, there has been an alliance between U.S. forces and Mexican forces to fight the cartels. So it is another possible area of military warfare. Conflicts are all around the world. And even in Syria, we see what's going on there. There's the Druze population under attack. There are the Alawite under attack there. The Christians, they are under attack. And so it is showing that there is controversy, even violence and chaos ready to break out in the world, where thousands of people are either dislocated or killed. Lots of violence all around the world, and we certainly wonder what will happen as Americans go around the world, sometimes to help, sometimes to withdraw. And we wonder what will happen here in our own very front yard. What will happen in America? Will we be targeted? Well, there are certainly people who say that the cartels in Mexico will begin to target the infrastructure in America and target the American people. Who knows? I don't know. And there's a lot of people who say, well, the Americans are armed. We will shoot back. Well, I guess we'll see. It will shoot back. And I think about all the politicians who've said over the years that who needs a rifle to shoot a deer that does not shoot back? Well, we have things going on, and we will just have to see what the future holds. And if our Bill of Rights with the Second Amendment will make a difference in the life of Americans, it's going to be a question. And we could have a conflict, yes, around the world, and yes, in America. And there could be a lot of things that are just spreading quickly because the world is really ready to have conflict. Intensity is increasing, and Americans are more and more aware of the conflict in America and in the world. There is terrorism and war on our front door. It could easily spread into our own very neighborhoods. We do recognize that America has enemies, both foreign and domestic. They are people who want to see the decline, the collapse of America. In every sense, physically, financially, militarily. It's something that is really going on, and we in America need to be aware that there are forces against us, ready to have cyber attacks against the U.S. Government, the U.S. military, and the civilian water and electrical services all across the country. And perhaps you will remember just last year, a few months ago, that there was the FBI director, Christopher Wray, who said repeatedly through the year that there were blinking warning lights all across America. So it sounds like this would be a good time to prepare for shortages that surely may be coming our way. Shortages like we've never had to have a concern about before. Shortages have been a normal concern for the rest of the world, but now we very well may have shortages in America. And I know there are a few Christians who are thinking about preparedness, and there's a few Christians who use the Bible examples of a compassionate community. There are also Christians who question about the recent blood moon, and if the blood moons are an indication of chaos and war. Well, that's what it has been seen as historically. Blood moons were an indicator of trouble and war, and that means uncertainty. And we do see things all across the world, even in America, things are becoming unsteady, uncertain. And so we want to have things good and normal for us in America. I think back to World War II, how there were shortages, and often enough, shortages happen during wartime. Not just shortages, but famine and epidemics and death. That just is a normal condition in wartime. So, yes, and we also have inflation during wartime. That's another condition. And that reminds me of somebody called Smedley Butler. He was a major general in the Marines, and he is one of the few people who was highly decorated with two medals of honor. Very unusual. And he wrote a book in about 1932 or 1933. It was titled War is a Racket, and he tells about how he saw war being used for monetary gain throughout his career. And we know that's pretty normal. In fact, it's human history to take advantage of crises and get the most benefit that we can financially. That is common. It's been going on for thousands of years, and we ought not be surprised if it happens in our lifetime. So let's take these lessons of history and know that trouble is possible. In fact, it even looks like it's coming, and we can use examples of past history to understand what just might be coming. Well, we have examples of war and how brutal it is with the Jews at Masada, with the Romans at under Hannibal. I mean, the Romans were attacked by Hannibal, and we have World War I and World War II, and how devastating that was. There was Operation Barbarossa, there was Vietnam, and of course we had the American Civil War, which had a huge loss of American life. But we have to always remember what is our most important battle in life. It is for our soul, and therefore we want to live for Jesus and have our soul be saved from hellfire. Let's do that by professing our faith and by life, a life that reflects our love for Jesus Christ. There are so many things that we can do to show our love, yes for God, and yes for our neighbor. Now, God created this world, this earth, and this universe to show us signs and wonders. And I just mentioned the blood moons. Now, that was a recent event. And we also have things going on that are even described in our Bible, like the waters that turn very dark red. It is as though they were turning to blood. We look around on every continent. There are rivers that have turned red in the last year. Even 2 years ago, we have seen that. And it's a mystery. It's a mystery about why. Now, they can say that it is coming, the water is coming from an iron-rich source, maybe a spring. And then there are people who just say, oh, God did it. And I think they're both correct. But that's something we all get to decide on our own thinking. Is it God or is it a natural source? And yes, I say it can be both. It's a matter of what is our orientation to God. Do we believe that God caused things, or do we believe that it was just a matter of what happens? Well, that is a very important part of our faith. Do we always look to God, or do we look to the situations in front of us? It certainly gets your attention to see red rivers all over the earth, on every continent. And I think of Revelation 16:4, where the waters turned to blood. And it did that back in Exodus 7:14 too, with Moses talking to Pharaoh, and the Nile River turned to blood. Again, how did this happen? Was it a natural event, or was it God-caused? And I say it was God-caused, and it could have been by a natural event. So we do ask for God to give us understanding about what is going on in front of us and what we are to do through life. And sometimes life is easy, and sometimes life is hard, and we pray to God for help and understanding. A lot of times life gets hard. Often enough, we do ask for God's help, and it is amazing what we can learn in the hard times of life. Sometimes I even wonder if the hard times are a plan of God to bring us to Jesus. Well, that's one for you to discern. But we do have things going on. We do have battles going on between good and evil, between us and the world. Things go on all the time, and I think that it is a battle, and we can thank God that it is a battle and that He makes it possible for us to be victorious when we persevere for the goodness of God. We can win this battle with Jesus Christ, and it can be a struggle. Sometimes it is a big struggle, and we have to call on God and watch for Him to act in ways that are kind of miraculous even. And we thank God. We thank God for what He gives us. And we thank God for His mercies. We give God thanks that He responds to our prayer. God is alive. God is living. And He listens and He responds to our prayers. Praise God and thank you, Lord. I know there have been times in the Bible where we see God responding to prayer, and we have neighbors and people we know that have had God respond to prayers in amazing ways. And often we pray to God and ask for the protection of God, or we ask for the protection for other people and the innocent around us. That's one of the wonders of prayer. We can speak directly to God. Amazing. I'm thinking of, lately I have gotten back into a habit of reading the Bible. And there were a few years where I got out of the habit Sure, I still went back to research a passage or a chapter, but my habit was that I stopped reading the Bible for a few years. And now I'm getting back into that habit of no Bible, no breakfast, and that seems to be what it takes for me again to read the Bible. No Bible, no breakfast. And it's been a good thing for me. I often read aloud, even if it's just me right there, which it pretty much is. I read aloud so I can hear myself pronouncing the names of people that are a little bit hard to pronounce because we're not used to them. And I think of God putting their names in the Bible, and I think, you know, one day I'm going to meet those people in heaven, and I want to be familiar with their names. So I read their names and try to get familiar with people in the Bible. I surely do like the King James Version, but I'm getting a new favorite Bible version, which is called the Sacred Names Bible, and it is reinforcing my understanding of the names of God in a historical context, like Elohim and Yahweh, and that is just a little bit with more definition than just saying God. So, I put it out there for you to consider. I do find I like the that Bible version of the sacred names. It just helps me to have a more personal relation. And I do like that it has other understandings. I know with Ezekiel, there is a chapter 1 about the wheels within a wheel, and I know that that Bible has helped me understand that even better. Well, we ponder life, don't we? And we ponder the things that are going on in our life and the things that are going on in the world, and we search for answers, and we are thankful to have God Jesus to help us to understand, and let's pray for that understanding and God Jesus to be with us. Sometimes we wonder why things are so hard. We wonder why life is difficult, why there is trauma in life. And I think about how the hard times can be overcome through prayer and as we seek godly understanding about what's going on in front of us. I think of the things going on in the world also. There have always been troubles, and today, again, problems. I look back at the plagues of Egypt, and those were troubles also. We can see that God has had mercies for the whole situation, that we get to understand more as we dwell on what has happened in our Bible. And these days, we want to speak to people about Jesus, the love of Jesus, and having a heavenly eternal life. And that's something which I think it takes study for each one of us. And yes, we have it, but we want to bring it to the understanding of other people. So let's pray for that and pray that we will be adequate to do that as we live in this world of worldly concerns. A few minutes ago, I talked about the trouble in the world, and yes, I think of John 16:33 that says, "In this world, you will have tribulation." So yeah, bad things are going to happen. And just like I said, there are traumatic events, war events with Masada or with Hannibal and Rome and the Christians and the Colosseum. Or even in American history, there is trauma, like at Valley Forge. In the world, there's the Holocaust, there's World War I and World War II. Life has a lot of difficulty to overcome. And now today, we even have the situation in Israel, based on the October 7th event in Gaza, and now there's Russia wanting to help Syria. And in Syria, there's the Druze and the Alawites. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Thousands of deaths in Syria, and thousands and hundreds of thousands of deaths in the Russia-Ukrainian war. There is trouble all over. There is sorrow all over. And we ask God for mercy. Speaking of the Russia-Ukraine war, it looks like it's going to expand. We have Germany and France and Great Britain. They seem ready to get involved. And Russia is kind of against a wall, and they are responding that they are not going to put up with the hundreds of Ukrainian drones attacking Moscow. The drone attack has stopped electricity. It has damaged the oil and gasoline refining. So their army depots of supplies that have also been exploded by the Ukrainian drones. It is getting to disrupt a lot of Russian systems, and the Russians are getting quite tired of it all. And that's just in this Russia-Ukraine war. There are events that continue to go on. Oh, events like in Finland, there's a, it was 6,000 gallons of radioactive coolant was leaked out of a power plant. So, you know, all these things happen, and we have to pray for God's protection and to give us grace. I think it helps things a lot. As we pray, we learn more and more that our prayers make a difference. But there are things that are just going on. Yes, in the world, and yes, in our own country, with thousands or even tens of thousands of federal workers losing their jobs. And yes, those things have always gone on. We've had the private sector get damaged from the COVID, and now the federal sector is getting damaged by, what would you call it, layoffs? Or is it the shrinking of government? Well, these things certainly are going on. And, well, I think about our federal debt, and it is something that is going to make a problem one day, and we keep adding to our national debt. And that reminds me of, I think it was 8 years ago on Christ Today, I talked about Jacob Rothschild of France. And he said that the United States would have a Great Depression, bigger than the Great Depression of the 1930s, because of our national debt. So it's something that a lot of people see. I remember financial people at that time, about 8 years ago, were talking about what to expect, because it would our national debt would take money away from other areas within our budget. So here we are living with these concerns and living with our money problems or shortages. It is a federal problem. It is a state problem. And pretty much every family has this problem too. Every household doesn't have quite enough money to make ends meet. And all these things are perhaps leading to a financial crisis in the United States. What shall we do? Shall we ask, what would Jesus do? Okay, well, we do have biblical examples of how to be wise with our money. And we certainly know that all of America has not been wise with their financial budgets, personal, corporate, and state. Troubles everywhere. So we have questions about what shall we do and how do we overcome the troubles? Does the violence in the world, what are we supposed to do about that? Should the United States go and help the Ukrainians or help the Christians in Syria? What shall we do? We have problems all over, and we only have so many resources. We have problems with the Christians under attack in China, in Indonesia, and in many places of the world. So are we going to expect our United States government to help with that? Or is that something that we each should help through our church donations, through our directed donations? It's just a great big question. And what are we going to do when we have a crisis in America? A banking crisis, a money crisis. It's something that we see coming, but what are we going to do about it? Our Christian community is having crises, and how can we help one another? I mean, I look at the Christian community, and I see people with problems. Some of them have old age problems. Some of them have physical problems. And some of them go to church, but they sure don't act very Christian. And so we have a question of what do we do? How do we discern what to do with helping our Christian community? What do we do when our neighbor or somebody in the church has the bank foreclosed on their home? What shall we do? I think of our Christian community, and I think of Acts 2:44, where all things were held in common among that Christian community. And I wonder, what are we going to do today? Are we going to move towards that Christian community? Well, I sure pray for God's direction on that one, because we have people suffering. The elderly, the people who just got into a big financial mess. And somehow, we get to figure out what are we going to do with the people who are suffering. The innocent people who are maybe babies and children. What are we going to do? How are we going to make these decisions? Do you think we should ask pastor? Have the pastor or the priest make the decisions? Well, yeah, that's a good idea too. But we each are held accountable for the decisions we make. We are held accountable for how we live. And there are going to be some tough decisions as we face economic tough times. And the Lord will guide us. Yes, He's already given us a guide. It's called the Bible. And we learn things as we pray and as we read God's Word. I still do wonder how people survive sometimes. Oh, especially the elderly. The retired people who have $1,200 a month to live. And there is great differences there. Because most of the people that I know in the retirement community, they don't even get $1,200 a month. Some get $1,000. But there are a few who have had a good federal job or a good job in law enforcement, and they get thousands of dollars more a month than the average retiree. So it leads me to say, what are we going to do? How can we afford it all as a country? There's so many retirees who are just facing hard times. How does anybody live on $1,200 a month? And as I recall, the average Social Security payment was $1,330 a month. And most people I know don't get that much. So life is not easy. And that reminds me, save up for your retirement if you're a younger person, because everything is going to get more inflated and more difficult. Inflation is here to stay, and we get to deal with that. Often enough, we will be eating more rice and more oatmeal. Not a lovely choice, but that's about the way things are. And how do we have compassion on the people around us? How do we help our brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, we do. And I think of Matthew 22:38. That is, we love God and we love our neighbor. How do we do that with the events that are unfolding around the world before our eyes? Things are difficult. Things are difficult in the war situations, and then we see Jerusalem surrounded by enemies, and we think, oh my, are the end times here? Well, we keep seeing signs that we are getting closer and closer to the end of the age, and there will be earthquakes and wars and famines. It's what the Bible has predicted. God has told us what's coming. So let's get a little prepared while we are able and have some savings for the just in case. Now, I speak of savings. I'm not sure that our dollars are going to retain their values. And there is also the problem of what's going on with Fort Knox. Do we really have gold in there, or has it been assigned to other countries? It is on the edge of a crisis. America could have a very rapid crisis. The world could have a very rapid crisis with both debt and with war. And then you have what's going on in Israel. Yeah, they have debt, they have war, and they have just had the sacrifice of the red heifer going on. It's another sign that we're coming to the end of the age. The red heifer will be used to cleanse the new temple. It's not the red heifer, it's the ashes from the red heifer. So we have things that are just indicating we are at a time of the end. And so, as we see the end of the age getting closer and closer, let's renew our efforts to talk to people about how important it is to follow Jesus Christ. Know Jesus. We can do that by studying the Bible, and we can see the signs in front of us. I think of the signs in 2 Timothy 3:2, where it talks about, well, I'll just say it briefly, proud men who love money and love themselves, and they are living an unholy and ungrateful life. Okay, that's the short version. You can read 2 Timothy 3:2 if you want. But that we have things that are indicating we are right now at the end of the age. And so let's reach out to people while they still can be saved, and while they are alive and we are alive and we are able to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are you going to do? What are you going to say to people? Let's tell them about Jesus, the good news of the gospel. And if we are not willing to change anything, then everything remains the same. We learn to live with the habits that we have acquired, but it might be time for a change. Consider changing your habits so that you can do the things that are important to you. Follow Jesus, preach the good news of the gospel, and do things that are going to be beneficial to the neighbors around you as we show love to God and love to our neighbors. I think of the habits we have developed, and sometimes it's so hard to change our habits. But this is something I think we all can be aware of. What I call it, no, it's not me, I identify it as normalcy bias, but that is what some smart people have called it. Normalcy bias, which is when we cannot change our habits because we just get stuck in what we are doing. We think we don't need to prepare because we are living all right now. But does what you see in our future cause you to want to prepare? When we read the Bible, do you think of how good it would be to prepare for the hard times? I think of Esther 4:14, where Mordecai tells Esther, "You must tell the king to save the Jews." And Mordecai continues explaining to Esther, if you don't do it, God will raise up someone else to do it. But then you and your family, your father's family will perish. So that's what we're dealing with. A Bible truth, because it's in the Bible. It shows us what is the history and what is very likely in the future. Are we going to speak and do what God calls us to do? Or are we going to be silent and let somebody else be raised up? I think we want to be faithful to God, to serve God, and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And to me, that means preparing enough to stay alive so that we can stay alive through the coming troubles that seem so likely to happen, on the verge of happening. And then we can preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the unsaved. And we know a lot of them. We know a lot of them as we walk through life, as we talk with our family, as we see people around us. We see that there are people who act as though they are unsaved, and most of them don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. Oh, am I speaking for them? Well, I've talked to plenty of them, and so I see that there's a lot of people who just don't want to hear anything about Jesus. Is it because they don't want to change, or because they have to submit to Jesus if it's a true gospel message? Well, I don't know, but somehow we have a mind and we can think about how can we approach these people and tell them about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's people that we run into just every day. It's people that we have in our families. It's people everywhere. We want them to be saved from the fire of hell. And that's a part of what we do. We figure out how to do it. No, it's not easy. None of it's easy. But it's showing compassion. You might call it love. It shows love for our neighbors. And sure, it's something we might not want to do because it's a little bit awkward. Yeah, I have an awkward time talking on the radio, but I still do it. It's not that it comes natural to me. It certainly does. Not, it has taken years for me to be able to talk on the radio. I was scared to do it when I first started. And now I've been doing it for a few years, and I see it as a way that we are showing love for our neighbor. I have a certain idea about what we want to do to prepare for God, and we also want to prepare for the things on earth. Because with trouble coming, we have to figure out how to get through these troubled times. And I see Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12 tells us that the wise man sees what is coming, and he steps out of the way of trouble. So that's something. Do you see it? So many people see it. They just don't want to do very much to avoid it. You know, what do we do if we see that there's a famine coming? Well, we acquire food. And still these days, there is food available. And with a war or tensions or hard times coming between nations, what typically happens is there are shortages. And so if there's shortages coming, that's something we can do too. We can get a few extra things of whatever you see that is necessary. Will it be parts for your car? Will it be a spare fan belt? Well, we all see things a little different, and we act according to what we understand, and we pray to God and ask for guidance. So that's what we do in the world all around us. In America, where there's so much blessing. But there are also plenty of people who are not happy. There's plenty of people who see violence coming or who have violence in their life. America is wonderful, but it certainly is not perfect. Now, if America had shortages like the rest of the world has, we would probably be concerned a lot more. The rest of the world has shortages of everything. Sugar, coffee, cocoa, gasoline, all sorts of things. And I think about, speaking about sugar or gasoline, it was 10 years, a little more ago, that in China, there were the Uyghur Muslims who were being persecuted by the Chinese authorities. And they started to bomb the facilities that were the Chinese government. So you know what the Chinese government did is they said, we are going to only allow people to buy a very, very small amount of sugar or gasoline. And you have to sign for it. And you have to be on a list that you bought this. And so that was so that those Uyghur Muslims could not bomb the Chinese government facilities. And so we know that these things have happened in the past, and we also know that it can happen again. Why, all over America, there were cards that allowed you to buy. That was in World War II. Ration cards, where you had to take your card with you and have it punched if you were going to buy whatever it was, sugar, gasoline, meat, all these things that we take it for granted today. But they can stop. We can have shortages again. And so we have concern about what things could happen, and we can always get prepared for a few things. What would happen if the stores shut down tomorrow? Well, there might be a few things that you would want to buy. It might be batteries. It might be a warm hat or a coat. There are things that you have to consider. What would happen if life in America changed? And so consider that. We do have things brewing all around the world. And I think of just last week that Chinese premier, which is an ambassador in Washington, D.C., said that China was ready for war with the United States and China would fight till the end. That's what they said. He represents China, and that's what China said to America. There is a possibility of conflict and great war on every different way. And it could be a war with a virus, just like it was with COVID-19. Now, there were things that were made up, like that the pangolins had spread COVID-19 to humans. It just doesn't make any sense. And there are just lies that happened. When the USA funded gain of function at the Wuhan laboratory in China, these are things we're finding out. And it was hidden from the American people, of course, because it would make the American people really unhappy. And just like we would be unhappy with if we were dragged into a war right now. And right now, that is going on. The NATO countries are trying to pull America into a war in Europe. What could happen? It could be very serious. And so we have to be careful. George Washington said in his farewell address, he said not to get involved in the affairs of other nations. So it's something. We just have the things around us. And, you know, one more thing. I'm thinking about shortages. And I have to tell you, a few years ago, I was in a Northern California city. And I had an infection in my arm. And so I went to a doctor. The doctor gave me a prescription for a regular antibiotic. And so I went to... let me tell you, the town had 5 or 6 pharmacies in it. But the pharmacy I went to said that, oh, good, you're here, because this is the last prescription that we have. The last one in the whole town, and it would be a week or 10 days before they had more of that antibiotic. And it was a regular antibiotic. It was tetracycline. So that's not special. That's regular. But like I said, it was the last round of antibiotics that were in that town among five pharmacies. Wow. Oh, well. It's something that we could have things going on. And what are we going to do if prescription medication runs out? Not easy. What are we going to do if we have a debt crisis? What do we do if the United States government can't pay its national debt? Well, the national debt is paid by our federal government if they can pay. But if they can't pay, it's the people who have to pay the federal debt. It's something that is so well established in law that we have to be aware of why we want to live right and godly in every aspect of life. Now, there are conflicts. I just said there were conflicts going on, and they are. There could be war happening. There could be great big conflicts. The war thing, both China and Russia have threatened nuclear war with the United States. Now, it was plain enough if you listen to what they said, but it doesn't mean the media will tell you that's what they said. Nevertheless, I want you to know that the countries around Russia and Russia have put emergency orders in for potassium iodide tablets. And there are countries in North Europe, including Russia, that have distributed potassium iodide tablets to every home in their country. And that's something, if there was a nuclear war, we would want to have potassium iodide to preserve our thyroid gland. Our thyroid gland helps other glands to function properly, and it makes it so that we can digest our food. So it's something that's pretty important to people. And therefore, I say, get a few things before they're needed. Have a storehouse of water, food, and warmth. Be a community. But including in that is to have some of those potassium iodide pills for you, your children, and your neighbors. They're not expensive. It might be $50. It might even be $100 a bottle. But to preserve your life, it is well worthwhile. So consider it. There are plenty of services that we think of that will help us. We think our government will help us. We think the Red Cross will help us. We think the churches will help us. But they don't have the things to help us. We have to be wise and get things for our very own selves, for our very families. Think about the things we might need if things go bad. Think about the attacks that have been going on, the cyber attacks, where there have been attacks on our water systems, our electricity systems, and our corporations, and our government communications. I can see that we might have a very serious attack coming, soon or not, I don't know. But it could be soon because there have been probes into our computer systems. So pay attention and always remember that salvation through Jesus Christ is what we want to have for ourselves, our family, and others. Get a few things that are going to would be in short supply if there ever was a crisis going on. And there certainly can be. Think about our spiritual preparedness and think about our physical preparedness. Both are important. And I do have a physical preparedness list. It talks about things that everybody should consider to have. Now, some things you'll like and some things they won't like. It is a little bit about medical, a little bit about food, a little bit about everything that we might consider, from extra batteries to medical things. So to get that list, just write me a letter and send a stamped self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. 95927. And God bless you. Think about the things that we face in America and people face in the world. Do pray for people. Pray for the people we love and care for. And also do something. Do something physically in case we do have troubles in our very own neighborhood. God bless you.